Alright, hi everybody, welcome back to Sheep Farm and another weekly Mint Sauce Chronicles. This will be released on Saturday 26th of the 11th, 2022. It's now Tuesday night on the 22nd of November. I hope everyone's in good health, and thanks for everyone who listens, subscribes, and thanks to all those members who make the amount of shows we produce possible. Thanks for all the emails sent in as well, although we don't get round to reading all the comments, we do look at a lot of them. Or Chris does in the emails especially. Email us at info@sheepfarm.co.uk. Don't leave messages in comments expecting us to get back to you, because as I just said, we don't read all the comments. We read all the emails, not every single word, but we read all the emails. The format of the shows is simple. We do 2 hours plus. Members get the full show. Non-members get first hour. It's a simple format. And all podcasts are available at sheepfarm.co.uk, sheepfarm.co.uk. We do try to release our shows, or the first hour, on YouTube, but whether this gets on there, because we're going to be talking a lot about 91 Divock all the way through the first hour and 20 minutes or so, so I don't think it will. YouTube's not our friend. There's too much algorithm to dance around, and sometimes you slip with what you're saying as well.
No, I mean, YouTube's now an advertising tool. With emails, the first thing I do scour through every day is if anyone's having any problems with their subscription, because that's the priority, especially if someone's a member. So I do that, and then I have a quick check through the others. I don't delete them all. I save them, and hopefully when I get a free day, I'll go through them all again.
As I said, the drought is over. It's been absolutely hammering down here for the last week or so. Reservoirs are chock-a-block. I noticed the ones near the motorway aren't.
It's easy manageable, isn't it? Just to fucking empty a bit of water out of them.
Easiest thing in the world. Yeah. Well, I know around, I've been mentioning in the summer that round here in Huddersfield, Halifax, they're selling water to Lancashire, apparently. And I think it's about 6 foot of snow or something in New York, isn't it?
Is it?
At the moment? Yeah.
But like you said before, they haven't built in a new reservoir since the 90s.
No, one. One reservoir.
I'm a little bit croaky tonight. I've noticed my voice is a bit croaky. I've got a bit of a cold. Got a bit of a head cold.
Bit of a huge cold.
Flu jab. Should have got that flu
jab. You needed to get that. Yeah. Flu. We're going to be talking about stuff like that. So I doubt whether this will go on YouTube, because we've got a few bits to play, audio bits to play. And as careful as you are, sometimes it's just better. I do know what? I just can't be bothered being a child with YouTube.
No, you better use it. What you can use it for is just advertising it, saying it's out.
We're going to do a live one sometime in December with the Wernher von Braun Operation Paperclip NASA sort of thing as well, which I'm just getting ready. Chris is going to do another drawing, then we'll sort of put the date on. There's a new film out, isn't there, is it Stu Peters, Chris? I saw the trailer for it. Have you watched it?
I watched it today.
I'm not going to say is it any good, because it's not the type of thing.
Someone sent me a link to it. I forgot it was coming out. It came out on Monday, I think. Someone sent me the link to it. It's on Bright. Is it? I forget which one it is. Brighton, no other one.
Bitchu.
Yeah. I watched it on Jim Fetzer's channel. He's put it on there. Because I thought you were going to have to pay for it, to be honest with you. I was going to watch it. It's good. It's about an hour and a bit long. And it just mainly goes through what the coroners have been... funeral directors have been pulling out of dead bodies,
people.
Basically.
Right.
Yeah. So it covers a lot. It's got some... It's well done. A really well done video. It's really good.
Right.
Well, like I say, not good, but it didn't... Because you said... Well, you phoned me today and said, you're going to watch it. It'll just make you angry. It didn't really make me angry. It just made me a bit...
sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not really anger inducing. Like when you see Schwab with skinny legs and he's upside down knackered. it's a bit more, I don't know, it just makes you think, if this is true, well, it is true, I'm sure, what they're showing, but if this escalates in the way that they're predicting, what the hell are we going to be looking at?
Well, we're going to look at fertility, total fertility rates and things like that. We're going to have a quick glance at them. A few news stories.
Are you going to watch that film, Fire?
Yeah, I'll watch it, yeah.
I mean, there is It shows, I mean, I've never seen, I mean, you've seen people with those little jars with what they described as clots.
Like them octopuses. Yeah.
He said they're not clots. I forget what he calls them. Fibrous structures. White right. Fibrous structures. I mean, that funeral director in England, did they look like? He's on it, actually. That English funeral director's on it.
Right.
He said they look
ooh,
like
that damn Mason.
Yeah, that Mason. You've literally watched wake up in the last 2 years, haven't you? From when you first saw him to now. Mm. Now he's fully over the fence in it. Seems like a nice bloke. And there's a few of them. And you can't call these guys conspiracy. Who's that guy, you said, Don, the super rich guy?
Hersh is he called or something like that.
He's on it quite a lot. Really good talker. Yeah.
I think he'll funded it.
Or do you know him and his family are fully tapped up? He turned when he realised it were nonsense, but he said he were telling everyone to get it. He was fully on side, fully on board.
Right.
Which I was quite surprised about because he's in that documentary quite a lot.
Yeah.
But he said his kids got it. He said his wife got it. He got it. People were asking him, are you not worried? And he said he couldn't believe why people bother asking him. Why ask him that?
He ain't now, though.
No, he says in that documentary that he offered $1 million for someone just to sit and talk about it, to actually address it, and no one came forward.
Yeah.
And then he offered $2 million. Then he said, name your price. Just not even to prove a point.
Like a whistleblower. Or...
Yeah, well, just someone to discuss it openly about any problems or anything. And he said, not one person.
It shouldn't surprise us either, really.
I felt like I might do it.
Yeah.
Go with a stethoscope and a white jacket on.
Yeah. You suit that. Wear a vest under it.
A vest under it. And a bottle of wine in your pocket.
A bottle of wine hanging out your pocket, yeah. Have your comfy trousers on. A comment from somebody called Adam, he said he saw a job advertising the civil service jobs. He emailed it over to me.
Yeah.
For a digital mental health manager. And he sent over it's funded by the Wellcome Trust, and which are obviously the second biggest NGO in the world behind the Gates, I think, or in the top three anyway. Certainly the biggest in Britain. And they fund, I think, the London School of Economics and quite a few of the London stuff and a lot of the stuff as well. And we've done quite a bit on the Wellcome Trust set up by, I forget his first name, but it was called Wellcome anyway. And that were part of, Wellcome Trust is part of GlaxoSmithKline. Well, it's not part of GlaxoSmithKline. It was GlaxoSmithKline's NGO.
Right.
So they're doing the funding, really, and then the pharmaceutical company are coming in and mopping up. Nice. And they're also a World Economic Forum partner as well, Wellcome Trust. So not only do they fund malaria jabs in Africa, but they're also funding. Anyway, this is a senior manager's position for about 67 grand. And it says for the MHRA, Medical Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency.
Read his email out. Read his email out. I found this from Adam. I found this job advertised on civil service jobs for digital mental health manager. Check out the images attached where it explains a successful candidate will be working in the innovative devices team. Well, you have to correct me, Twat. To work on software and novel implantable devices. Most shocking of all, it is funded by Wellcome. Who, as you no doubt are aware, are a World Economic Forum partner. The job is based in Kerry Wharf, City of London, right at the heart of the beast. Cheers, Adam. I can't actually see that email. I can't see that thing that you've printed out there.
Make it larger, Chris.
Go on, just read it.
Well, I mean, the job summary is, novel. It's going to be giving medical advice for novel implantable and diagnostics, and again, medical devices that look like implanted, which is quite interesting. I'll have to look into more of this, really. Key responsibilities, lead digital mental health project team. I mean, where's that going?
If you were looking at that advert, would you actually know what that was about? Was there people out there who know senior manager digital mental health?
Pass. Don't know.
Is anyone trained for that? I mean, but when you read it, is it kind of just saying you learn on the job?
Kind of. I don't know. I don't
novel
know.
Novel implantable. It's basically anyway. Saying mental health people will be having implants put in them. That's what it's basically saying, isn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, people ask me, going back to that, like this and the Stu Peters thing, what is all this about? I mean, in a minute, I'm going to play you the initial thing with Piers Morgan, because we're going to be doing some stuff on the who's behind all these supposedly independent radio stroke TV streaming companies, who people like Piers Morgan and Jeremy Vine and O'Brien and all these people work for. And what is the big why are they doing this? Well, one, population's falling through floor. It was before all this, but they're certainly going to speed this. This is certainly going to be speeded up. I'm watching something, we're Ed from Out of Light, but I've watched something else. There was something in Australia saying that the birth rates have dropped 60% in certain areas in 2021. So they don't know what they are this year, but they've dropped in 2021.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because I was talking to Mrs. about this yesterday. If you think about it, Fatty, right, they've got those stop oil freakazoids hanging off bridges and doing all kinds of weird shit. And they're all saying they're not going to have kids. And then on the other side of that, you've got folk like us who are going, do I even want to bring kids into this world now?
Well, also, you've got all LGBT lot. It's all right, I'm saying men can have kids, but I mean, we know that's nonsense. But what I'm trying to say is, when does all this stop? You know?
Yeah. Well, if you've got people swinging over the sexual fence, if you like, and then they can't have kids, it's going to slow down, isn't it? And in the middle of lockdown, right, in those 3 years, if you were trying for a child just before, in the middle of that hoo-ha, would you have tried for a child? Because I wouldn't. I was saying to my missus, we were lucky we'd had sis 2 years before. So she missed out on it all. She worked at school, so I didn't have all that fucking stress, Mag. Didn't really have any of that to deal with. But you'd have definitely put it on pause, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. If you remember that document that I've got some floating around somewhere, National Institutes of Health, that when they had that meeting in 1967 or whatever it were, about population control, funded by Population Council, which were funded by Rockefellers. And this was National Institutes of Health, where Fauci works now. I'm not saying he were there then. And they were openly talking about promoting homosexuality to control population, putting stuff in water to control population, pushing women's rights, if you like, to get them into work so they haven't got time to have kids and look after kids, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. None of these things, if you think about it, you can't say haven't happened. All these things have happened. Yep. They've all happened. And you could even say the water one. They were on about putting contraception in the water. Now, they have, because they found contraceptive pills in the water. You know, the male sperm counts overall in the world has reduced.
I remember that because they were saying that it was because people flushing them down the toilet.
Yeah. A
few years ago.
Contraceptives, yeah. The male's sperm count's gone down. Testosterone levels in males are going down. Estrogen levels are increasing. Whatever the reason all this is, and people blame plastic and chemicals and all sorts of other, it might be loads of different reasons. But there's certainly, and then when you look at all the people we talk about, Mark Devlin talks about, everybody who researches all this stuff talks about, they're all into eugenics.
Everyone.
And then we wonder why people's fertility is dropping and the population's dropping, because that is eugenics in a nutshell. The other one is obviously the one trying to make a superhuman. If you can make one human that can do the job of 200 humans, see you later, 199 humans. You know, they're going to do that.
Is it like Brave New World, where there'll be different humans for different jobs? They literally bottle breed different humans to do different jobs.
Well, somebody sent me an email today, and with something totally different. That company, I don't know if you've read about it, Chris. Do you know that digital currency company that went ratchet today? Second biggest digital currency, crypto, FTX, it was called. And that guy who were running it, 30-year-old, autistic, Sam Bankman-Fried. Yeah. And they've basically, they've fried about $20 billion, sorry. And how are they, so again, going back to what we're saying, now we've got people who have been put in charge of things who are openly autistic. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with anybody who's autistic, by the way. I'm just saying that. And he's in control of tens or hundreds of billions of dollars floating through of other people's hard-earned money that have just been, just gone. And it has all the hallmarks of a CIA operation, to be honest with you.
I was going to say, it looked very suspect, that story, to me.
But we've now got a population, and I'll use this term, it might offend some people, I'm sorry if it does, it's not meant to offend people. If somebody's got a mental problem, let's just say somebody's been changed in the womb, with all these jabs that have been going on, all the toxicity that we spoke about over the last few years when we've been doing these, genetically changed. And now they're in control of these massive corporations, or they're in control of governments, or they're in control of whatever. They're making decisions now. Look at Gates. Gates is a prime example of this. An inadequate human being, they've got no personality whatsoever. Look what he's in control of. Yeah, he's got some bitch tits on him.
No hips, is
it? You say hips or...
No, is it hips and tits? He's got a good pair of hips on him.
Yeah, let's not get on about that again, because that pearl necklace thing. And Elon Musk. Elon Musk's the same. I mean, you look at these people, they're not your normal knights in shining armour, are they?
No, they're not prime examples of males, are they?
No, no. So, anyway, today we're going to run through... we're going to go through a bit fertility, just quickly. Then we're going to go through some news stories that have been sort of in the headlines, not necessarily headlines, but we're also going to go through a bit on that Artemis rocket launch as well.
I just watched a bit of that on BBC on YouTube.
Right, I've seen some of the pictures they've sent back.
Yeah, and I'm still not convinced.
No.
He does go into that, and that's Stu Peters' thing, actually. They go into they have a different word for stillbirths, don't they?
Yeah.
In the womb, deaths or something, I think they call it. And this doctor is saying they went up 300%.
Yeah, they've gone up in this country as well. I were having a look today, and I think I've got a few figures.
You talk about the graph where it shows, you talk about, what's his name? What's his name's hockey stick. That one just goes straight up.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Norman Fenton does anything on this fertility. I might email him. Anyway, it'd be interesting, that one, to do that. So I'm going to play a video. We're going to talk about the, as I said, the media outlets as well. And I want to get the sort of ball rolling with a video. I'm sorry, I'm going to put you through this. You'll only be able to listen to the audio. But if you listen to the audio and listen to these creeps talking, you've got Piers Morgan, you've got Susanna... Reed or whatever she's called.
Good morning.
And you've got Dr. Shillery talking. And it's the day in, I think it was December, so 2 years ago today, December 2020, 6 months after they'd said there was a plandemic, they've now saying they've got a 90% efficacy jib jab. Let's get it out.
Kept pushing it forward. They said it was going to be, it's impossible to do one. We need one, but if it's impossible, it could be 2 years. Oh, it could be 18 months.
Oh, now look, we've got one out. We've got one out of bottom draw. Yeah.
Ta-da.
Yeah, we just found one. And so have Moderna. And so has Michelle Pfizer. So has AstraZeneca. And so has Sputnik in Russia and Chinese and all these other ones.
The whole
as
world
well.
Just happened to find them all in the same week.
What other one that? Was it Johnson & Johnson? Anyway, one of them as well. There was another one in America, wasn't there? Mm. Johnson & Johnson, so kill you with talcum powder or jib jab. anyway, just listen to this. I mean, we've got to keep, it's horrible to listen to, but we've got to keep this in his mind type of thing, because this is who these people are.
Well, they want us to forget that, don't they?
Yes. So I'm just going to play this now.
Oh, we are full of hope.
Happy vaccine day.
Yeah.
Should we go to Scrooge straight away and see what he can do to ruin it? Dr. Hillary?
Scrooge?
Dr. Hillary is the voice of reason, of course,
okay,
and caution.
Doc, let's just... I was picking my daughter up from school yesterday, Elise, and we were walking back. I had a mile-long walk home, and I got halfway before I remembered to tell her the breaking news. And I stopped her. I said, there's incredible news. I said, there's a vaccine. And she went on a kind of war dance in the street.
She wasn't the only one.
And I thought, I wonder, all over the world, how many people are reacting that way. Now, obviously, we know that it's not immediate. Mm-hmm. We know there are still questions to be answered. We're going to come to those in a moment. But let's just start with the really good bit. A vaccine appears to have been developed with a 90% efficacy rate. Now, Hillary, that is good news.
It's terrific news. It's absolutely wonderful. It's the news that everyone's been waiting for, the best Christmas present that anybody could hope for, really. However, it's not Armistice Day. It's not all over. And the worst thing that could happen is people start celebrating prematurely and carrying on as if we're not still in the middle of a second wave of a pandemic. That would be a huge mistake, and it would result in lots more hospitalisations.
Okay, so basically, keep doing the things that we must do.
It's really important.
Hand space, social distancing, washing your hands, wearing the mask.
Yes, I'll tell you why. Because this vaccine that is 90% effective in a relatively small trial of 44,000 people seems to be very well tolerated, very minimal side effects, 90% effective. That's great news. However, it's very unstable as a vaccine. It has to be stored at minus 70 to minus 80 degrees, which itself creates logistical problems in getting it to the places where it will be given out as an immunisation. You would probably have, because it's a novel vaccine, you might have to wait for people to, say, 15 minutes or so in a surgery to make sure that they're OK before you let them go. You would probably have to, because it comes in 500 vials at a time, you would probably have to have, say, two GPs working flat out all weekend to vaccinate 2,000.
Right, Hillary, yeah. I mean, can you, like I think you said when we were watching it earlier, can you blow smoke up anybody's arse even more? Than they are there.
Two GPs gonna have to work out 2,000 in a weekend. 15 quid. Was it a tenner a pop?
15 quid or something like that.
I think it went up to 15. It might have been about. I think it was 15. I think you're right.
Yeah.
15
quid. Then they actually went up to.
I'd do night shift
booster.
Wouldn't you? Yeah. Do you reckon? Did you do what? What's his name said? I picked my daughter up from school and we walked a mile home. Do you reckon he walked a mile home with his daughter? Because I don't. Maybe he does. I don't know.
The answer to that,
he said he was halfway home and he'd forgotten to tell her, then he told him she was doing a war dance.
Yeah. I'd be surprised if he walked home. Yeah. But, I mean, we're going to talk about, well, not necessarily about Moron, but a bit about him in a bit. The population, cool. Control. We've heard it so many times. We've heard Attenborough. We mentioned it on that Rise Above Live presentation the other night with Attenborough saying, I don't know anything that could not be improved in the natural world with less people, or words to that effect. Mm. So we've got the Huxleys in eugenics. We've got all these people, Bill Gates in eugenics, all these people talking about reducing population. Well, the total fertility rate of a population is the average number of children that would be born to a woman over her lifetime if she was to experience the exact current age-specific fertility rate through her lifetime, or she was to live from birth until the end of her reproductive life. The replacement fertility rate is 2.1 births per woman for most developed countries, but can be as high as 3.5 in undeveloped countries because of higher mortality rates and child mortality. So the global average for replacement total fertility rate, eventually leading to a stable world population for the period between 2010 and 2015 is 2.3 children per woman. So in England, total fertility rates, TFRs, was 1.59 in 2020.
Right, bloody hell.
Decreasing from 1.66 in 2019.
So we're already gone.
We're already going down. The fertility rate in most recent years is the lowest in this time period and far below the peak of 2.65 births per woman recorded in 1964. So if you look at that, if you look at that graph there, Chris, you can see in 1950 it were up at 4.7-ish. Mm. Yeah. And now, I think now it's at, what did I say it was? It's down here at 2 point something or other.
Now it's at 1.59.
Well, that's different. That's the total fertility rate. That's a global fertility rate. So it's dropping and dropping and dropping. And then you've got the replacement rate, which is 2.1. So it's got to be 2.1 to increase population. I think in England, the replacement rate is about 2 now. So we know things are decreasing. Population's definitely dropping. I think this has been used to speed it up. That's my view. I think,
and the other things on various,
they've been knocking people off. People are knocking this sudden death syndrome type stuff, and also, it's about sterilisation. That Sir John Bell, he said on that BBC program with that snow guy, it's not going to sterilise everybody. Why would he say that? There's no reason to say that. And then you've got those girls in Africa that were, what, the HPV jab or polio, one or two. I think it were HPV because it were, and in India, and it was sterilising them all. And I think the Kenyan government were going wild because they were sterilising
little trial
kids. Yeah. Trial run to sterilise people.
I think if there's about 1,500 deaths extra a week, 6,000 a month, plus all the other stuff that's scaring the shit out of everybody. And that's deaths. And imagine, this is what I'm saying, you can't imagine the impact, can you? It's going to have in 5 years or less.
Well, I mean, you said it, going back, way back when we first started these things, are we going to wake up and just hear birds whistling and there's nobody around us? There's just weeds growing through people's flags.
I would guess that is what we're trying to achieve, where no one, there's never, not really a sucker punch. No one really notices a massive
nudge. It's a nudge, isn't it?
It's just a slow.
Well, I now know whole families, families of adults, not necessarily kids, that are struggling now. You know, people who are laid up or they've got summer, or the parents have got summer, or the grandparents are on the way out. And it's like three generations. So there's four generations of kids, grandkids, parents, grandparents. The grandparents are goosed. One of them's goosed, or both of them have dropped with dementia or some other illness. Parents have lost it. Grandkids are losing it. And their kids are, what's going to happen with them? I'm jumping the gun a little bit. There's a story further down which sort of sums this up. But when I were on, when I were waiting for you, I were on YouTube, and there was a story popped up about two coppers in America, and both of them have been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Two coppers.
Right.
And it's a recent news video. And that seems to be the case. And they've got kids. So they've got stage 4 and they've got kids. They haven't jumped from stage 1.
Yeah.
And gone through treatment. They've just got stage 4.
Turbo cancer.
Yes, turbo. I mean, again, it goes back to that Dr. Mary's monkey. How in advance did they know all this? Because they knew the polio jibber jab. They were going to use that, if it's true, I'm not saying it's true, try and use it on Castro as a weapon and called it galloping cancer. Mm. Now they're calling it turbo.
Well, that's the theory what happened to Bob Marley as well.
Yeah.
Put some in his shoe.
Yeah. Yeah, because he said he got pricked in his shoe and that's where he thinks he got it from.
He got a weird, rare cancer in his foot, didn't he?
Mm. Which, I mean, how many people do you know get it
cancer
in the foot?
In your foot? Never.
Apart from that lady, you know, that picture that we had that time?
Yeah. But that was the same thing, wasn't it? She just developed that tumour on her foot all of a sudden.
But this is what's happening. What's happening is that these things have been speeded up and you can see it. You can see.
Makes you wonder.
We're hearing little things, aren't we, Chris, about people, you know, and I mentioned something like somebody says I'm getting a heart monitor, or somebody says I'm getting a I've had it said to me. It's not just you. You know, health issues with people that you wouldn't normally hear about. It's not that you're not just. It's not just because you're taking notice. It's that you'd never heard these things. You never heard them. You know, a mate of mine said he'd been laid up for 9 weeks. Mm. Him and his missus with some mystery illness, and you know you're hearing stuff like this all the time, and they're calling it, and we're coming to this as well, long divoc. You know, the long divoc thing is a major one, and we're going to come on to that, and we'll bring Piers Moore on back into it as well. But yeah, so
very
in 2021,
isn't it? Long divoc.
Yeah, in 2021, yeah, it's an easy explanation. What, are you opening another bottle of wine?
I'm opening.
What you got today?
Malbec. For winemakers, Malbec. I've never tried it before.
Yeah. Right.
Go on, sorry.
Witch piss. Where's that from?
I don't know. Argentina.
Witchy pissio. Yeah. Witchio pissio from Argentina.
Yeah.
There were 624,828 live births in England and Wales in 2021. An increase, actually, of 1.8% from 613,936 in 2020, but still below the 2019 figure of 640,000. So you'd say that 2021 made up for 2020, but it's even less if you average them out than 2019. And 2021 remains in line with the long-term trend of decreasing live births seen before the divoc pandemic, the nonsense started. So this is ONS, by the way. I'm not going on some spurious website. These are ONS figures. And I ain't saying they're real, but let's face it, if they wanted to dress them up, they'd dress them up a lot better than this. Mm. The total fertility rate increased to 1.61 in 2021 from 1.58, as I mentioned before, in 2020. And it's the first time it's actually risen. But like you said, in 2020, would you have kids? And then when the prison doors got open, you know, is it a bit of a mini baby boom? I know quite a few people who have had kids actually recently.
Or people who stuck at home as well, fair.
Yeah.
What I mean is, for nutters like us, and we, because I mean, if what I mean is at the beginning of the nonsense, I wasn't sure if we were ever going to get out of it. I thought that were it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I thought that were it. I thought we were.
I didn't think I'd go to the cinema or wherever again, or pub or anything.
It was the first time I thought that I might have to pick a weapon up.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I've never felt like that before. I can't. It was one of them feelings that you'd never had before, but I thought, I'm going to be on front line somewhere, are you?
And I'm not someone who envisions violence, really.
No, I'm not either. No.
But you didn't know. You didn't have that feeling.
You didn't know where this was going, did you, really?
Someone, I mean,
maybe we're just paranoid conspiracy theorists.
Everyone who listens to this has got a certain level of paranoia and not...
awareness, I'd call it. Awareness.
Yeah, awareness. Yeah.
So although fertility rates sort of increased, younger age groups saw a decline in fertility rates, while it was the older groups that saw the increase. So right. The younger people are seeing the decrease, yeah, which is what they want. There were 2,597 stillbirths in 2021, an increase of 226 from 2020. So there's definitely been an increase, although there were 2,522 in 2019. So it's an increase on 2019 as well. I don't know what the percentage is there.
It's not something that you'd... Would you really scowl at that, though?
But again, these are ONS figures. So we've got to be careful what we look at these figures, because I don't really know if any of these are the same ones that were telling us that people were dying of divoc, and you know what I mean?
But to be honest, I think 2022 would be more interesting than even 2021.
I mean, they are saying that there is an extra 1,500 people a week dying.
Yeah, I looked at that the other day. They're still saying that a week. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but they're covering that up easy because, like you said, 1,500 people a week with 70 million can be easily hidden, can it?
Yeah. But also, Fatty, when were they actually pushing it on pregnant women? That was later on, wasn't it? Because at first they told them not to get it, then they cleared it, then they said to get it.
Yeah.
Probably so I think that was going towards the end of 2021.
Maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
A year ago-ish when they started pushing it.
It wouldn't really affect that 2021 number, I wouldn't have thought, if I'm honest.
Yeah. So the still birth rate definitely increased to 4.1. Again, I'd be interested to see how the... Because when you watch Norman Fenton, I know you probably haven't seen his stuff, but he's a statistician, a bit like Nobed Ferguson, but he's on sort of like the right side of the
positive version.
I won't say a positive version, but more of a realistic version, and it explains it very well. And it'd be an interesting one to see where... So to me and you, 4.1 compared with 3.8% in 2020 doesn't seem like a massive jump. But it depends how they worked it out behind the scenes. It might work out that it's 200% for argument's sake.
Hmm.
Yeah. A bit like, reading this, and it said, this is the world fertility rates from 1950 to 2022. United Nations projections are also included through to year 2100. So the current fertility rate in the world is 2.428 births per woman, a 0.41% decline from 2021. Now, to me, that doesn't sound like a lot, but the same thing happened the year before, and it was roughly a 0.4% decline, and the year before. So I don't know whether that's quite a massive decline in 3 years. Hmm. Doesn't sound like it is, but it could be. Need a proper mathematician to work it out, yes.
I just saw, funny enough, Fatty, right? It does link this, but have you seen that? There's a YouTube channel. I'm just looking through my old YouTube channels, and it's called AIDS is a Lie. Did I get that from you? And there's tons of like old videos, like 9 or 10 years old. I don't remember when I subscribed to it, but
It might have been when you sent me that stuff earlier on in the year.
Yeah,
that, and I had a look around, and
I think it was that. Yeah. But they were doing a thing on there, and it was showing you this graph, and apparently it was showing that AIDS or whatever you think of that, they were saying they were putting everything on it to make it go up, the number go up, right, which sounds very familiar. And in 1993, it were on its way to being the least it had been. But then they changed the criteria to get it, and they added a lot of other stuff, and then it had its biggest...
Does that remind you of...
That's what I'm saying. I just watched it about 10 minutes, just before we started this. It was just a 3-minute video, but they said they stacked everything they could think of on it just to make the number go up, and it shot up. So they went from zero to hero just by changing the criteria, basically.
I mean...
Which is similar to what you could be saying here.
I'm still hearing people say, oh, I tested positive, and I'm thinking... And these are people who are meant to be sort of awake.
Positive thinking, for what? Being a fucking breeze blockhead?
Positive for being a knobhead. And I tested positive, and I said, I've explained to you, don't you realise that the tests are a waste of time to start with? You're wasting your time. They're not testing for anything. If a can of Coke tests positive, all bets are off, you know?
So you're wasting your breath, to be fair. Someone's saying...
But in fairness, these are people who won't have the jab. So they're not people... You know what I mean? Some of them
still
are.
Still doing the test.
They're still doing the test when they get a cold and think they're testing positive.
I've had a cold for about a week, right? It never entered my head.
No.
You know? I used to get colds once a year.
Yeah.
Some form of cold or whatever. I was just thinking, actually, when you were on about that, you know, when they were on about the jibber jabber come out, I remember going into the Grafton Centre in Cambridge in the car park, and there's a jibber jab centre at the bottom of the thing.
Right.
You should have seen how ecstatic they were queuing up. You were like, I don't even know how you describe it. You were like...
Delirious.
Like we'd won a war or something, you know. People would come, hey, are you all right? Like,
New Year's Eve going to a club.
New Year's Eve, except everyone were in the 50s and 60s. But yeah, they were all like they were high-fiving each other. Someone ran up to me and went, have you come for your jab? I went, no.
No, I haven't. Piss off. Yeah. I don't know. It bamboozles me. One thing that's come out of this, as I say, is this of this nonsense is this long Divock nonsense that they keep talking about. And there was a newspaper article of, that I think you sent me, Chris. Fully jabbed Britons reporting tussis, T-U-S-S-I-S, after catching Divock. So the fully jabbed, right, whatever that means. I don't know what that means anymore. Whether they've had four, two, or whatever. It's a top post-jab symptom. So tussis is basically a bad cough, that medical term. So they're coming up with terms that people don't know what it is, just so it sounds like something else. Since the first cases of Divock were reported in the UK in 2020, patients have experienced a range of different symptoms. So that's got nothing to do, even though, forget whether we question what Divock is, that's got nothing to do with people saying they're getting stuff after they've been jabbed. So they're already mixing it up to start with. Many of us are aware of what were ruled to be the most prevalent signs in the early stages of the pandemic. However, since then, most likely symptoms have continued to change. I mean, is that normal? Symptoms don't change, right?
Well, they've got the perfect tool, haven't they? Something they don't know, and it can be anything. And now there's a long version, and you can have any
symptoms. In a short version, and new variants. And
can add any shit they want onto it, can't they?
Yeah, of course they can. Not only is this due to the fact that the virus has mutated several times. It's mutated. But also, the jib jabs have played a part. I'd say the mutations are the jib jabs.
Yeah.
And that's, if there are different symptoms, it's because they were unaware that these things would cause these symptoms. Anyway, the Zoe Health Study, which collates information from patients, I didn't look into the Zoe Health Study or who funds it or anything like that, found that a number of the jib jabs you have can determine which symptoms of Divock you are most likely to develop if you catch it. So let's read that right. The number of jabs that you have can determine which symptoms of Divock you're most likely to develop if you re-catch it.
Let me guess. They're slightly worse if you've had less.
Slightly less worse if you've had less.
Yeah. But if you would have had more, it'd have been much worse. If you've had more, it'd have been much worse and you'd have been hospitalised.
I mean... just that one statement there. This is what these them people that were outside that jab centre that you were talking about there. This is the shite that they're reading. This is what they're reading.
Yeah.
Insanity. I was talking to a nurse today. I was talking to a nurse today. Yeah, talking to a nurse today, right? And she said when they were she was a midwife. When they were training, not training. When someone were pregnant, and let's just say they got flu. After they'd had the jab, the cum flu jab, yeah? So they're giving pregnant women the cum flu jab, yeah? And they say, well, I've had the jab, why have I got this? And we're going to come into that in a bit as well. And we're trained to say, well, it only protects you for two strains. You must have a different strain.
Get out of jail free card.
Yeah. My missus said, how about I have a test to see what strains I've got then?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what they'd say then.
Didn't exist, does it? I'm guessing.
Anyway, you were going to say something, Chris, a second ago. You've forgotten now.
Oh, no, I was going to say, those symptoms there that you've got there, I've had all of them. That's just a cold.
Well, that's a cold or some, you know what I mean?
Or a brought on cold by something else.
Yeah. The top four symptoms are sore throat. What's one of them? Runny nose. Never had one of them. Blocked nose. What's one of them? Headache.
There is another factor here without sounding like an absolute conspiracy nut job. It's true.
I never have thought of that about you.
Well, and everyone's noticed, well, every nut like us, the spraying that's been going on as well, Fire. Could that be a logical part of that? So, I mean, last year when I got that weird thing, we've talked this before. Yeah. The burning nose. I mean, I've had the colds. Yeah. I've had colds before. I've never had a nose that feels like it's burning. And I've had it again this year a little bit. Not as bad. But I've had a cold for a week or two.
Right.
And I can't seem to shake it. It's not that bad. It's not like I can't get out of bed, but just a bit groggy and a bit chester. And you could hazard a guess that that's because you're breathing something in or something's going through your airways.
Well, there is quite a chemical smell at times around. And I mean... could be the technology that they've just turned on. Ooh, they're definitely spraying something. I'm saying it's all of the above. the jib jabs if people are having something that's in the water, maybe all over. I mean, remember that place in Italy? Before all this started, I remember talking about it. I think I sent emails down where one village in Italy got started going down with cases of pneumonia. And they worked it back to the water. And they thought it were bacteria in water, and they realised that it were actually an excess of chlorine or something like that in the water.
Right.
Or something of that nature. And so these people going down with pneumonia, I think some of them died as well. And it was something to do with the water. And I'm saying it were chlorine. I might be wrong there, so don't quote me on that one.
Is it Legionnaires?
And so, it was something like that. But anyway, it were one encapsulated village in Italy. Ironically, where did it really explode in the country? And Italy's birth rates are dropping through the floor as well, fertility rates. You're talking to Roman Catholics. I can't blame contraception there, can I?
No. you just reminded me of a story. I don't think I've ever told you this. When I worked in London, went out for a beer once with, I think it was my old sous chef, and his friend came out who was French. I'd never met him before. I think I only met him that one time, went out for a beer. Anyway, got one fat thumb. And I think I was looking at it, and he said, "Are you looking at my thumb?" Because he'd got this massive fat thumb with a line down it. And he was from a small village in France. Everyone in his village were born with two thumbs.
Right. I mean, what was his name? Tom?
So he basically said, the answer would have been, I thought, cut one off. But they kind of surgically manoeuvred them together.
Right.
It's not related.
Did they do an Ann Summers mix of it? The rabbit thumb.
But what I mean is, though, a whole village, and a lot of them, not all of them, same, but a lot of them were born at the same time with two thumbs. So someone was testing some on them, weren't they? Must have been.
Well, again, it's like that village that you mentioned in Brazil, where they were all born with blonde hair or whatever.
Well, they're all twins.
Blue eyes.
They're all twins.
Yeah, twins, that were it, yeah. There are these things in certain areas, aren't there, that I'm sure there are tested on. Anyway, I don't know if some of you... I'm going to play another short video in a minute. The sound's a bit quiet, so I'm going to turn the sound up a little bit. But I don't know if you've seen Vanessa Feltz in the news. I sent you the video, Chris. I can't put these video links in because they're not. I mentioned before, they're not... links on YouTube, these videos, so you're going to have to search some of them out yourself. She's on GMTV with our friend, I think it's Phil and Holly Willoughby on there, and she's explaining that her daughter's in hospital. Anyway, I'm going to play it.
To bring you in here, because you just wanted to talk to people about flu jabs and how important
they are. I did, and the reason I wanted to say it is because my elder daughter is in hospital at the moment on a drip. She's been there, she's been desperately ill really since Wednesday. It's now Monday. She's been on a drip since Thursday night. She has, guess what? Flu. That's what she's got. Flu. She's 36. She's slim. She's fit. She's got two young children. Lovely husband. She started being incredibly ill, vomiting and vomiting and vomiting. We thought it was norovirus. You know, we thought it was the kind of thing that you just deal with at home. She got sicker and sicker and iller and iller and iller. And in the end, you know, was admitted as an emergency. She's still in hospital. She's still on a drip. We think she's finally turning the corner this morning. It's been absolutely. But may I just say,
what did the doctors say to her?
Yeah, the consultant said. I said, flu? My God, I said, she's had the vaccine, because she has. We had it together. We paid. We were just scared to get it this winter. We thought, right, we'll go in early. We'll get vaccinated. We got vaccinated together. I said, she's been vaccinated. He said, imagine if she hadn't.
Mm. Oh, God, it's not funny. Do you know what? I've not actually seen that one.
No, but I hope she's all right. I hope she's all right.
That's not the one you sent me. You sent me the one where she was in hospital with a mask on. I ain't seen that
one. That's right, yeah.
But you're right.
Yeah, somebody sent me that one. Yeah.
She does look distraught, to be fair.
Yeah, she does.
Pretending.
I mean, somebody sent me that and said she's an actor and blah, blah. And I'm thinking, do you know, it's not that we've got to be careful, because at the end of the day, they still work for the man, whether we like it or not. They're still working for that parasitical system.
They don't know everything. No. How many of them have dropped? You've seen loads of them drop. I mean, the first one. Yeah. Publicly to go was that woman on the BBC, and they actually admitted it was the jibby jab that did it.
AstraZeneca, poor, weapons that kill.
They dragged her poor husband on TV, if you remember, so we don't forget. And he was in pieces still, wasn't he?
Not only that, he was interrogated.
He was interrogated.
He was interrogated.
And then it was like he was told at the end to say, but I still agree with the jibber-jabs.
Yes.
Your wife's just died. I'm dragging that poor bastard on there. He's almost in tears.
How can he agree? Right. Are you telling me he agreed with the jibber-jabs? I mean, he didn't, did he?
Well, was the condition that he was allowed to go and say his piece on TV that he had to put that bit at the end?
Go along with it.
Not in a nasty way, but, you know, you can imagine... There's a bigger thing at stake here than your wife who's just died. And the guy's traumatised still. So he's just doing... He probably didn't know where he is, to be fair, that guy, did
he? No. You know? But the gist of that is that a daughter was ill. I'm hypothesising here that if they've had the cum flu, they've probably had the Divock as well. Rooster. Yeah? One in each arm. So they've been dead-armed in both arms. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know this happens because someone I know and what meant has had the tap and they've had pneumonia two or three times since September being double dead armed. Yeah,
but I mean, like you were saying, just because they're on TV, they're just as programmable as everybody else.
Well, we were having a conversation earlier, weren't we? Because, I mean, we're as bad as everybody else to jump to it, that they're all part of it, they're all in on it, they all know. And I suppose some of them do know. I've no doubt that
certain
some of them realise what they're doing. Yeah.
Certain ones you get very suspicious of. But I think she looks terrified, right, for a daughter. Fair enough.
Yeah, she does.
She looks terrified. But she still hasn't put two and two together that it could possibly be, I'm not saying it is, could possibly be the arm spear or even the foot spear, any of them.
And the reason is because the families aren't, if that was 50 or 60 years ago, I'm sure, because your families are closer. As we saw, like when we were talking about jib-jabs before, the Leicester riots and stuff like that, because they were closer, they wouldn't put up with any of this shit.
And also, in fact, we're in a world now where if you don't agree with the science, you're a crazy conspiracy tinfoil hat wearing nut job. So there's no, I'm sure in the olden days, or older days, even probably going back to 80s, even maybe 90s, you could have five people in a family with different opinions and they didn't turn on each other. They just accepted we'd all got a different opinion. I'm pretty sure that world...
Christmas at our house didn't exist.
I don't think using our family is a good example. I'm on about reasonably. Anyway, but I'm sure that existed, though, that you could have a reasonable conversation. What I mean is things have just become black and white now. There's no allowance for a grey area.
George Bush said? You're either with us
or you're with the terrorists. With us or against us. Do you know something? And just quickly off the top of my head, something popped in my head over there. And I thought, do you know that Ridley Scott film came out with Matt Damon in it, where he went to Mars? And it was a few years ago.
I didn't watch it, but I know
it's a few years ago. Yeah, he's selling Mars and he's selling
Elon Musk bollocks. Yeah.
But I always remember in that film, he's trapped on Mars and he's trying to think how to grow things. He goes, I'm going to science the shit out of this thing. And after that, I watched that film. I heard about three or four people use that terminology. But we're an implant fighter.
Yes.
We can science the shit out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And science, you know, and look where we are. Trust the science. You've got to trust. And she, Vanessa Feltz, I've never been a fan of Vanessa Feltz, but I do feel bad for her and I hope her daughter's all right. But yeah, you can see the fear, but why? And the relief as well when she said, and, you know, the doctor said, so because the expert told her that if you wouldn't have had it, it'd been, imagine how bad it had been. They all nod and go, yeah. So that's it. That's over. Yeah. There's no conversation about it. Schofield say, did she have all the other
taps
and everything? Yeah. You know, could it have been that? Why does no one fucking ask her that question?
Because they're
so
all
just
dumb.
Go along together. No question about anything. Don't discuss anything.
Nothing.
Keep going.
Even asking the question.
Just a question.
You can't tell me, right, that she's had the spear and when she said to the doctor, but she's had all her jabs, she were expecting, oh, bollocks, it might be that. Because it's gone through her head.
Maybe
it's gone through her head.
We never tried putting the flu and the Divock one on the same day. Maybe there was a combination. That's never been discussed.
No.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I would want to know if splicing them two together on the same day, does that cause some reaction?
Yes.
If you put, I put my carb soda down my sink today with some white wine vinegar. That has a reaction. They're two harmless elements.
Yeah, exactly. You know
what,
I mean?
What could these two things do?
There's another one. I'm going to play a bit of this video, not all of it, because it's too long for what we're doing now. It's a guy who works for Sky. It's called Roland Manthorpe, and he's Sky's technical reporter. So if you've watched Sky News, you'll have seen him a bit like Jon Snow, you know, that type of, what is it, Jon Snow, with graphs and stuff like that. A bit like that. And in February 10th, actually, 2021, he said that it may be able to, like the virus may be able to escape immunity to some extent, meaning that it is possible it could evade the jib-jab.
Right. Ooh,
Sky Technology correspondent. Virus. Yeah, exactly. This is in, so just after it's been brought out at Christmas, around the time Wancock were crying over William Shakespeare, mm-hmm. yeah, or just after. So we're talking 2 months after. That's when they come out and say that there's a new variant. Yeah, so the vaccine didn't save you. It saved you for 2 months, and then it's that old Chuck Norris kick around. And this guy's reporting on that, saying, he's doing the script reading, spell sending words, that it might escape the jab because of these new variants. But roll on. Can you remember, it was the Kent variant, wasn't it? I remember that now, the Kent variant. But roll on 2022. Roland Manthorpe, Sky News technology correspondent, has been out of full-time work with Long Divock since spring 2021.
Right.
I know people, Chris, that have come to see us. A lady in the spring, she got chronic fatigue, terrible chronic fatigue after the first tap. One guy who thought he had Lyme, he's ended up having a lumbar puncture. I've told it. Anyway. Again, so you have conversations where they draw fluid from your spinal. Anyway. And he says, he texts us, I haven't got Lyme now because I had a lumbar puncture and they've tested it. I think it's Epstein-Barr. Anyway, the first tap, he was hospitalised.
Right.
That's how bad it affected him. So I said to him, did you have second one? He went, yeah. And I said, what happened? Then he said, I had to call ambulance again.
Fucking hell.
I said, you didn't have rooster booster, did you? I went, yeah. I said, what happened then? He said, he got myocarditis. So he's trying to convince me that he's got Lyme disease. And I said, bloody you hell. Aren't. You jab damaged, mate. So now he's gone back to hospital, had a lumbar puncture, and he's trying to convince himself that it's something else other than that.
What happens when you have a lumbar puncture?
They stick a massive needle in and draw fluid out of your spinal column.
Is that a spinal tap? Yeah. Is it the same thing?
Yeah.
And what, to check it for?
They test it, don't they? Yeah. Anyway, so this guy, this Roland Manthorpe, who works for Sky, he's obviously pro-jab, right? Pre-2021. I'm not knocking the guy because the guy looks goosed on this video. I'll play it in a second and you'll hear it. I'll only play a couple of minutes. I won't play long. And now it's how Long Divock has ruined his life, it said, and why it won't go away. And it's in a, you can find it on YouTube. It's in an episode from Sky called Off Limits. And he finds out why the treatments are so hard to find. And he uses video diaries and interviews himself and family and gives.
You can't be diagnosed with Long Divock then. You just.
No, they'll sort of tell you you've got Long Divock. Yeah.
But there's no diagnoses kind of thing.
But there's no diagnosis. But obviously, what else can they say? I mean, a lot of the symptoms are more or less exactly like Lyme disease symptoms. And whatever Lyme disease is, my view is you've just had your immune system destroyed. That's my view.
Well, that's what Lyme disease is, isn't it?
Well, your immune system's been destroyed, and we all carry this certain stuff around in us, whether it's Borrelia from Lyme, or whatever these things have got inside them. And these things now affect you, whereas normally they wouldn't affect you. Anyway, I'll play this video. So again, this chap's called Roland Manthorpe. You might remember have heard his voice before.
Right.
Having another relapse. So sick of this.
I'm Roland Manthorpe. I'm technology correspondent at Sky News.
Our technology correspondent, Roland Manthorpe, has an exclusive story.
Our analysis, which looks at all the...
Well, I was technology correspondent at Sky News. Still am officially, but I've been off work pretty much consistently for 18 months. I'm also a dad. I've got two children and a wonderful partner.
I'm Kirsten and I'm Roland's partner.
And I'm a long COVID sufferer.
Here are all the pills.
Now I'm feeling a bit better. I want to try and explore this illness, this problem. Why don't we know more about it?
These syndromes have never been properly researched.
And are other people having the same problems that I had?
A lot of doctors don't believe that long COVID's a thing.
Are other people being, you know, to be honest, let down?
I mean, I really sympathise with the guy and everybody else who's been damaged. I know a lot of people who are sort of into our way of thinking say it serves them right and stuff like that, but I'm not down that word. I just think that they are frustrating, some of these people, because, yeah, they would have thrown us under the bus, but when you see these people who thought they were doing the right thing, they are terrified. They are easily manipulated for some reason, and they can't see that they were all right 1 minute, they got jabbed the next, and then they're goosed. They can't see it. And most of them are never going to see it either, let's face it. But when you see that, I mean, I looked at the pills they were taking. They weren't pills, not pharmaceutical pills. They were all...
How many pills is he taking?
They were all supplements. Yeah, they were all supplements. So he's obviously trying to go down the natural health type of world. And they're a good maker supplements, them as well. And because he's getting nowhere, like all these people don't get anywhere, with conventional treatments, because there's nothing that they can help him with. There's
only, why did he have that gas mask? If
that wasn't a gas mask, that was oxygen, wasn't it? It was obviously doing some sort of breathing.
It looked like you were in some kind of tank.
Yeah, that would have been a hyperbaric chamber.
Right.
Yeah.
What's one of them?
It's something that... It's, you know, like when you go down in a submarine. So when people go diving and they get bends,
they get bends.
It's a pressurized container, and it helps you. And what they do is you breathe oxygen when you're in it, and it helps absorption of oxygen levels. They're really good.
Right.
So I saw a Twitter feed on this with this guy, and it was Piers Morgan, and he reveals he's still battling long divoc. And he's on medication. Piers Morgan, yeah.
Right.
So the former Good Morning Britain anchor, 56, was double tapped at the time he contracted the illness and previously said the outcome would have been much worse if he hadn't been jabbed.
Old chestnut.
Yeah. So he were on a Twitter feed with this guy, this chappie, Roland Manthorpe, and he said, look, DM me. This is how thick I am. I didn't even know what a DM was. I had to ask my wife.
What's a DM? I don't know.
Good. I'm glad you don't either. Direct message.
All right.
Right. Yeah. We're now in social media world, Chris. Never heard it before. Yeah.
Just DM me.
Yeah. Just DM me, Chris. DM me.
What does that mean? No. A text message then?
Well, it's like private, isn't it? So open. Yeah. No, it's like a direct message is private.
I've never seen Twitter. It must be on Twitter.
I don't go on Twitter. I've never used it once.
I don't even know what it looks like.
Face crook.
I'm on face crook.
Anyway, Piers Morgan says, because I was struggling until I got my meds right. He's obviously on meds now. Now, whether he means... So there's quite a few people out there openly admitting they've been tapped and then getting long divoc.
It's funny how Brickhead fucking Morgan won't admit anything, though. Like, never admit.
Well, I remember, right? Several years ago, I've still got the video of Dr. Oz in America tapping him with a flu tap.
Yeah, I remember that.
And the week after, he's got that country and western singer on, and it feels like shit, and his throat's croaky and whatnot. And I also, before all this started, looked into him, because that's what you do, has he been ill since? And he was. He were off work and he were hospitalised pre-Divock. Yeah, pre-Divock taps. Flu. After the Kung Flu in between. He were hospitalised in between. And I don't know if it was pneumonia, but it was some sort of respiratory illness he were hospitalised with. And he's been ill a few times with it. So he knows. So we're going back to these people that know, right? Piers Morgan, right, has been, by the looks of it, poisoned, right? And not once, but several times. He should know. Hmm. Now, whether he does or not, I don't know.
But maybe the reason the position he's in fat is because he's thick as pig shit, and the people who put him in that position know he's thick as pig shit.
Well, yeah, we'll come into who he works with in a bit later on, probably in part two. But where we're on that train then. The people, going back to what we were saying earlier, the people that know and the people that don't know, all of these people at one time that we're talking about here, all the people on them videos, Piers Morgan, all these people, have all called people out like us.
Quite nastily,
yeah. In fact, I've got another video to play of Morgan talking about, and we'll do that before we start part two, actually. We'll do that in a sec. Mm. Of Morgan calling out the nurses and stuff like that, which I found a bit disgusting, to be honest with you.
That is disgusting because I never had to go at anyone for having the jibby jab, even though I thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because I understand they were behind a £5 zillion propaganda machine. So, you know what I mean, though? You can't blame anyone. You can't blame anyone.
No.
At all.
We've often said that but again, a lot of people.
We stood as ground in what we believed in, which is fair enough as well. But don't attack anyone.
And just like people who have had it and jumped over the fence, you can't knock them. I'll give you some examples of that. That Dr. Campbell, can't do with the guy, does my nappering.
Yeah.
However,
well, me too.
He looks like he's woken up to the problem. I've not heard anybody say, I think he was on GB News the other day, you know.
He was, I saw it, I watched it.
Right. What was that like?
I can't remember.
Is he actually a doctor? Did he say he's a doctor?
No, but they were saying you can question, but he doesn't really ask any questions. He just goes through.
He just gets his fountain pen out and draws a fucking circle around it. Yeah.
Just go through that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The only reason I watch him is because he does actually give you honest version of the stats. He's not in a editorial way at all.
I've never heard him once.
His next video will be new strains of the.
And
you're like, what? I thought you were jumping over a fence a minute ago.
Yeah. I look at some of the comments and some of the people that are doing that, whether the bots, AI bots, whether they're real, like them people that were clapping frying pan, banging frying pans and in that queue that you walked past 2 years ago. I don't know. Oh, I don't know what I'd have done without you, Dr. John. You know, you've helped me through all this. And I'm thinking, well, he hadn't helped me through it. He was telling you to go get double tapped. And get your rooster booster. He's done nothing. In fact, how many people has he harmed by saying what he said?
They're in two minds and they trusted his opinion.
Yes. Has he ever come out and said, I apologise, I was wrong? He'd get away with that on YouTube. Well, he must realise, because he's been saying that it's obviously jib jab damage causing myocarditis and stuff like that. So he knows, you know, he gets millions of views, not like a few thousand like we do, you know. And also that other guy, that Dr. Malata, he does a lot of talking about it now, in fairness to him. But I've never once heard these people, like Piers Morgan, all he talks about.
They won't backtrack or they won't say, look, I made a mistake. I'm really, because the fucking coconut head's fine.
Yeah.
Their ego is bigger than the words.
Yeah. Well, Piers Morgan, all he goes on about is that he got told it were effective and it stopped people spreading it, and it was just a lie. That's as far as he goes. That's it. That he won't talk about anything else.
I've never been at stomach that guy, even before this bullshit. No. Just shouts at people, and I don't like people who shout. Stop shouting.
No, I know. You can't have a conversation with him. Right. Well, I'll play this.
Interesting question, though. Dr. Hillary, morning.
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 Front page of the Mail, playing off what Dolly Parton said there. NHS staff could be forced to have the jab. It's said that as many as 200,000 NHS and care employees have refused to take the jab despite being offered it and despite working in close proximity to very vulnerable sick people. I've talked about this a lot, but I'm appalled by this.
Yeah.
And I really think it's not acceptable. And if you work in NHS and care work and you're a potential risk to the people you're caring for, you either have the jab or you don't go to work, I think.
Look, we know that about 450 or more COVID cases a day are acquired in hospitals. So if you've got staff who are potentially able to transmit the virus to you, they shouldn't be in that hospital. Would you expect a surgeon to operate on you if they were HIV positive? Would you expect a surgeon to operate if you hepatitis B positive? No, they're not allowed to. So if you've got staff who could infect their patients, then it's not, they're not being professionally responsible. Now, I know a lot of them are not on the front line. I know a lot of them are on almost minimum wage.
But they're working.
It's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant.
If they're looking after patients, they should.
It doesn't matter how much they
protect the patients by
it's where
inoculating.
They're working. They're working inside hospitals and care homes.
Yep.
And these, we know that 25% or more of infections are happening inside hospitals.
There's so many misconceptions and myths about the vaccine that needs to be addressed. We still need more education.
Every day I read such nonsense on social media about these vaccines.
Can't
from
you
ignorant,
a couple of vaccines
ill-informed
then...
people.
You've sealed what the drone's going to be for the sword fight. Morgan and Chillery and Roger and each other.
I just think you do need to play these people because, I mean, they're annoying, don't get me wrong, and it is annoying. That last statement there, ill-informed people.
So you know, and also, that whole thing through the whole nonsense, that anyone who questioned it just gathered all their information from social media. I don't look at social media.
No.
Never got any information.
Chris, I didn't even need to look online. I knew and you knew and most of the people listening here, the day it happened, it was about a jab. Right? Because they weren't doing it for any other reason. And you just read the history. Bill Gates standing up at TED saying we can do this and reduce population with a jab and all you know, it's been written. They're telling us what they're doing.
Regardless of how fucking bonkers we are, you only have to look into it for 10 minutes. Really? Do you? I don't know. I don't even remember.
You've got an open mind now, Chris.
I remember a world when I did not think, I could not have thought that wasn't dodgy.
Well, maybe going back, I mean, that's why I won't knock. I mean, we've all been probably jabbed, even listening to it. So we can't argue with people who've been jabbed because we've been jabbed. You know, we've got duped at some point, or as parents got duped when they give us them as kids. But, you know, it is difficult. When you're listening to that there, that was right in the middle of it all. That were right there. That was in the middle of the machine. That ain't BBC. That's ITV, GMTV. It's
I always
not
remember
just about BBC.
I always remember one on BBC Two radio when I was driving to work. I was still working in the care homes at the time, driving down Twilight Zone streets. And I remember there were a radio show, and they did like this whole pantomime about this woman who's. Had one friend on Facebook who basically brainwashed her into thinking the jabs were. They literally produced this program for her. But when the guy came on, right, who was her mate on, because they were acting it, and she's talking to her son, I think, and she's going, I just don't know. I don't trust the jabs. And then it put on the Facebook friendship with this conspiracy theorist. Now, what you need to do, darling, you need to not get that jab. You're all shady and horrible and creeper. And she was just like this frail old woman who hadn't got the jab. I think in the story, she ended up perishing from it because she didn't get it.
Oh, obviously.
This conspiracy theory.
Obviously.
The propaganda machine was 60 degrees. It was everywhere, wasn't it? It was radio.
Yes. Yeah.
Every single channel, as you're going to talk about, I'm sure, every single relentless, constant propaganda.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wartime-level propaganda.
Wartime-level propaganda used on us in a massive psyop that you can't even... I mean, you look back now. Yeah, we're going to go on it in a second, but you look back now and you think, you can't believe you lived through that. That was...
insanity.
Yeah. I mean, during World War II, they had a part of the World War II before D-Day called the Phony War.
Right.
Where they actually, you know, made Germany think that Britain had more men or more tanks or we're going to invade at a certain area at a certain time and blah, blah, blah. And those same tactics by those same people are being used and have been used on us. Clearly during 2020 and from then on, but obviously before that as well, but more in your face. These people rose up and were on telly. Your Whitties, your Mickeys, your Valances, all these people who you would never seen before, they threw them out on telly. And they didn't look comfortable.
Face of this.
Van Tampon, all these people, they just didn't look comfortable. Anyway, thanks for joining us on this first hour. If you join us for the members' second part, we'll see you on the other side. Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.